Lemonada.
This is Eric Alvarez. One quick note before we begin. This episode is available in Spanish. You are listening to the English version, which means I will try to say soccer instead of football. Para escucharlo en español, busca el podcast Mi Mundialista Favorita.
Okay, I've been to a few. The one that I go to the most, it's called Red Sea, is in City Heights, which is a little further south.
Rising U.S. soccer star Naomi Girma is describing her favorite Ethiopian restaurant in San Diego, the city where she plays professionally.
My favorites are, like, there's this, like, beef, it's called kutfu. It's kind of like a that's like the classic that, like, you should order.
She is smiling ear to ear. You can tell she enjoys sharing Ethiopian food recommendations.
I don't know if you know what it looks like, but it's pretty much like this bread and you, like, eat everything with it, so you order, like, multiple things.
Girma was born in San Jose, California, after her parents immigrated from Ethiopia. As a first-generation Ethiopian-American, a sense of community was crucial to her finding herself and achieving success as a soccer player.
My heritage has been a big part of my life and means a lot to me. That's actually also where I started playing soccer. So I think it's always kind of been intertwined in my life, both on and off the field.
I'm Eric Alvarez, and I'm joined by my decorated football co-host. She's an Olympian who won the World Cup with the U.S. Women's National Team and now plays as a defender for the NWSL champion, Portland Thorns, Megan Klinkenberg.
Thank you, Eric. This is my new favorite Futbolista, where you will get to know football's brightest stars and the causes they're fighting for off the pitch.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Megan, civil rights leader and wife of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Coretta Scott King, once said this: "The greatness of a community is most accurately measured by the compassionate actions of its members." And if you ask a lot of soccer players, they'll say that community plays a huge part, a big role at every level of the game. So, Megan, how did your community in Pittsburgh help you when you were a young soccer player?
It's so true. Nobody achieves anything by themselves. It always takes help. Everybody needs a community, and each one is separate and special in its own way.
For Naomi Girma, a rising star on Team USA, finding community has been something she's done at every step of her young career. Joining us now is Darnay Tripp, who covers Naomi and the San Diego Wave for NBC San Diego. Darnay, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Darnay, we've seen audiences growing for women's sports, but especially in soccer. Now, when you cover the San Diego Wave, how are you seeing the demographics change, and how important is it for a player like Naomi to represent her culture in a city as diverse as San Diego?
Yeah, when you see the crowd shots at a Wave match, when you're at the match, you see so many different backgrounds. You see so many different ages. You obviously see a lot of young girls, but a lot of young girls from different backgrounds. I think that's something that she has a lot of appreciation for, and something that's not lost in her, something that she doesn't take for granted, knowing that she represents young girls that typically haven't had that type of opportunity, that don't have role models like Naomi Girma, professional soccer players that play for the U.S. women's national team. Now they do with Naomi Girma. And I think there's a lot of young girls that have taken notice of her and are inspired by what she's been able to do in her young career.
Thanks, Darnay. Let's hear Naomi's story.
Before Naomi became a star player at Stanford, and before she was even running around youth soccer pitches in San Jose, her parents left behind their homes in Ethiopia to find a better future in the U.S. Here's Naomi.
So my mom came for school. She was like, always school had been a priority for her. She was really lucky in that way to just like focus on that, and then like that ended up being her way to come to the U.S.
It was not so simple for Naomi's father, Girma Awaka, or even his own decision. He was fleeing Ethiopia in the midst of a civil war.
He was like fighting against, it was like a dictatorship, and him and like the younger, it was like a younger generation that was kind of like not putting up with it, and they were fighting and had to pretty much flee the country.
Both Naomi's parents ended up settling in California's Bay Area, where they met and started a family. But the challenges the 22-year-old's parents faced leaving home for the unknown at such a young age is not something lost on Naomi.
I think it's so crazy now because I think I'm older than like when they left, which is just so crazy to me.
I was basically Naomi's age, you know, right? 21 going on 22. That was when I came. So I was young myself with lots of dreams.
That's Sebla Demise, Naomi's mom. And you may ask, why is her name not Sebla Girma? Let's pause here to share how Ethiopian names work. We'll let Naomi do that.
The kids like take the dad's first name as their last name. So me and my brother are Naomi and Nathaniel Girma. And my dad is Girma Awaka. So that's like... So he's not Mr. Girma.
Back to Naomi's mom, Sebla Demise, who was describing her adjustment to life in the U.S.
So the adjustment was not easy, but, you know, I had people along the way to help me out. So, you know, do whatever it takes.
Naomi's dad loved soccer and wanted to bring the Ethiopian kids in the community together, so he started a soccer club, Malida Soccer. It's where Naomi fell in love with the game, too.
And it was just like Ethiopians in the Bay. We would get together and we'd play soccer. And I think just like them creating that environment for me and like making it such a fun and safe space for me to just like fall in love with soccer. I always say it's like the most low pressure environment you could imagine. Like, half the kids didn't like soccer, and I was there just, like, having fun.
Naomi didn't just like soccer. She was good at it, really good. And that's where some of the biggest challenges of being a first-generation American really began to manifest. A first-generation American is someone who is the first to be born in the United States, or it can also refer to someone who becomes a naturalized U.S. citizen. If you're not a first-generation American, you can sometimes take for granted the institutional knowledge you or your family may have. Things like how to enroll in school or get your driver's license can become adventures to navigate, especially if there is a language barrier. For Girma, who was excelling in youth soccer, simple tasks like signing up for club soccer became quite difficult. Here's Naomi.
First one that always stands out to me was club soccer, because I remember I would beg to sign. I was like, please sign me up. My mom was like, where? Like, literally, like, where? Raising us here, everything's different, you know, like they couldn't use any of their experiences growing up to help us grow up. Like, it was like we were all having to learn together.
Naomi's mom says she got most of her info from the other moms.
So in that neighborhood, we had a babysitting co-op group, you know, just so the kids could play together, or, you know, some of us work and, you know, we pick turns like play dates or babysitting and like enrolling kids into school, you know, different activities. We get together and, you know, I believe it was once a month, we exchange information, you know, as far as the school and, you know, other activities and things like that.
Like, I think college is like one of the biggest ones because like a lot of people start preparing for college in like early high school, you know, and I think if you don't like know or like have the resources for that, you can feel like you're behind by the time you're actually applying. And I think that was like, I mean, I was recruited for soccer, so luckily I went through a different process. But I think for my brother, there was like a lot of stress around like making, like not wanting your kid to like be behind or not wanting to feel like your peers have like an advantage over you just because of like your family and like stuff you can't control.
We, as my husband and I, want to make sure we support them. So we don't have the answer right away. We try to get it, you know? Yeah, and this seems like the kids understand too, you know, some of the things are not growing up here is not the same, right? Some of the routines we do is completely different, but we did our best to get them engaged, you know, and support them.
Naomi says when it came to soccer, there was no shortage of help from the Ethiopian community in San Jose.
One of the biggest challenges, I would say, was like rides to training, especially as like it went from like 2 days a week to 3 days a week. I was getting rides from anyone who could take me. I had like one of my really close friends, her mom would come get me from my school and then go get her daughter and then get someone else, and then we would go.
And the motives for the help from the community were never in question.
I think they just saw a kid who loved playing soccer and like wanted to help her out, you know? Like, I don't think like they were like, oh, like she's gonna play for the national team or like she's gonna go to Stanford.
The community even banded together to make sure she could keep playing soccer. Here's Naomi sharing a story her mom told her about a soccer meeting she went to.
I remember she told me she like went to the meeting. They wanted to like move me up to the top team, and we didn't know the families on the top team yet because I had been like playing on like the whatever team I joined with my friend. And she was like, I can't, like, I don't think Naomi can join. Like, I can't get her to practice. Like, and you have to be at practice to play, you know? And they were like, no, like that's not a reason for her to not keep playing or like not to be on the team. And like kind of were just like, we're gonna figure it out, like don't worry. Yeah, I just think like it's really cool that multiple families who just like out of the kindness of their heart would like swing by my house or swing by my school and get me, and like I'm so thankful because I would have maybe had to stop playing because like couldn't drive myself. I was like 12.
So there's no way Naomi would have got to this level without the community. And it's really through that, you know, when they say it takes a village to raise a child, I absolutely 100% agree with that. And I'm very thankful. The people know who they are. Like when I say, they exactly know whom I'm talking about because we help each other out quite a bit. And I'm super grateful forever for that.
This is Eric Alvarez, back here with my co-host, World Cup champion, Megan Klingenberg. So it's been really remarkable to see how the community in San Jose really rallied behind Naomi to get her to that next level. So as someone who had a similar experience, let's say, can you explain how much sacrifice is involved, whether it's parents, friends, relatives, or the players themselves, to get their career to that professional level?
Yes, it takes a lot of time and effort and special attention. Hearing about Naomi's community and how they stepped up for her and for her future is so inspiring, because the like club soccer is wild these days, and it wasn't even like that back when I was doing it, and it was still a lot. So you might have practice 3 or 4 times a week, then you also have high school practice. You're trying to get good grades because you want to get into a nice college. You're trying to set yourself up for your future. And then you're trying to have friends, family time, which is also incredibly important as well. So trying to balance all of those things as a young kid can seem really overwhelming. And so it's pretty cool to hear about how Naomi's community stepped up for her and helped her share the load and the burden of taking on those things to be able to go to the next level.
When we come back.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Naomi shares how community is still part of her life as a professional soccer player.
Naomi had an older brother to hold her hand through many things as she grew up, but that isn't the case for all immigrants and first-generation Americans. It's difficult to chase after your dreams when you don't see anyone like you already making them a reality. That's why Naomi wants to be an example.
My message to first-generation kids would be, like, ask for help. Like, don't be afraid to ask. And I did. I learned that from my mom. She is always like, I'll just ask. Like, it's fine. And, like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, no, like, it's embarrassing. And she's like, no, just ask. Like, people are, like, more likely going to help than, like, turn you down or, like, make you feel bad about it. So that would be my biggest piece of advice.
And it doesn't stop with advice. Naomi is putting her words into action, working with organizations like Common Goal and United Women of East Africa to help children of immigrants get answers to questions they have and, more importantly, get support for mental health.
It's such an important resource for, like, young athletes to have, and also even, like, at the pro level, just, like, kind of having that support.
It's a struggle that Naomi herself had to deal with after the death of her best friend and teammate at Stanford in March of 2022.
A Stanford soccer player who was found dead in her dorm room died by suicide. That's according to Santa Clara County's coroner's office. Katie Meyer was a captain and goalkeeper on Stanford soccer team.
The reason, like, I was really passionate about starting it is because my best friend Katie Meyer passed away from suicide. So I think, like, kind of in her honor, just, like, starting something that, like, she would be proud of and I know can, like, help a lot of kids, especially in, like, marginalized communities where, like, mental health isn't something that's, like, talked about. And I think that was one of the things that drew me to United Women of East Africa, actually, is, like, so they work with, like, first generation kids in San Diego, and they do a lot of things that, like, I felt like could have been helpful for me, like, when I was a kid. And, like, some of that is, like, resources as far as, like, school, like, health, like, well-being, but also, like, one thing that, like, they prioritize is mental health. And in, like, young girls, I think growing up in, like, African communities, it's not something that you talk about. And I think, like,
it's not. It's like starting to become like less taboo in like American culture, but I don't think it's changing in like necessarily like those cultures.
You could probably guess where Naomi's desire to give back comes from.
I think I've like learned it from my parents, and like they would like give back like in Ethiopia, even if we weren't like necessarily well off. It's not like a thing you do when you have extra. It's just like a part of your life. So I think like that's kind of been ingrained in me, and like I've always really valued that.
While studying and playing soccer at Stanford, most of Naomi's teammates were unable to travel home for Thanksgiving since the holiday falls during soccer season. But Naomi's family lived just 25 minutes from campus, so her parents invited the team over for Thanksgiving.
She made like the biggest spread of like classic American Thanksgiving food so that everyone felt like they were like there was some stuff I was like, I've never seen this before. But we had like 15 girls on the team over or something. So like she wanted everyone to like feel like they were at home for Thanksgiving, and everyone ended up just like trying the Ethiopian food and eating it. And like the other food like really wasn't touched. So that was pretty funny.
It's our culture, you know, basically. We're growing up. That was how we grew up, you know, with your neighbors and all that. So the girls came over and they all tried all, you know, our food too. And I was like telling them, I'm like, you have a game tomorrow, just be careful. I remember telling them, like, just be careful, don't try something new. I want to make sure you win tomorrow. And they won. I mean, I guess both times they won. I mean, yeah.
Sharing her Ethiopian culture with teammates and friends is a pride point for Naomi, but it wasn't always that way.
Just like the culture, the language, the music, like the jokes, the laughs, like I feel like there's so much that comes along with it. And it was like, it was, as a kid, like you don't always see like that, it like how cool it is. Like it's kind of like this other thing that you kind of have to balance. But I think like as we've gotten older, like we've realized like it is a blessing, and it's really cool to have like this other culture and these other experiences that you can share.
Naomi is a trailblazer, dominating on the pitch and making history as she goes. The first player of Ethiopian descent in the National Women's Soccer League, and the first player of Ethiopian descent on the U.S. Women's National Team.
It's really special, and I think I'm like honored to be in this position. And like we said, it like wouldn't have been possible without a lot of people who've helped me along the way. So I think it's like cool to see, like it feels like it's like for all of us, and it's not like just for me.
She also hopes what she learned as a first-generation American and the success she found can be repeated in generations to come.
I mean, I hope it makes them proud, and like, just like for the little girls, like I hope like they feel like they can do the same thing. And like, I think it can be hard to like, to see like your all like your family sacrificing so much like to come to the U.S. and then also be like, I want to do this thing, like I want to play like competitively, and like it does take over like your life in a way. Like it's like your parents sacrificing a lot every weekend. I hope like there are like kids who are like inspired to kind of like bet on themselves and like follow their passion.
Darnay, now I'm curious, and I've just got to ask, but have you been to the Ethiopian restaurant Naomi swears by there in San Diego?
I haven't. I've been here for a few years and have tried to kind of explore the cuisine in San Diego, but that's a new one that I'm going to have to try out, kind of expand my horizons a little bit. If it's good enough for Naomi, it's definitely good enough for me, so I'm going to have to give it a shot.
All right, Darnay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
On the next episode of My New Favorite Futbolista, this 22-year-old American phenom is speaking out about student-athlete mental health.
I think that's what makes like mental health scary, because you don't know what someone's going through.
Get to know Sophia Smith on the next episode of My New Favorite Futbolista. Thank you for listening to My New Favorite Futbolista. There will be over 700 players at the World Cup, so we have more inspiring stories to tell. Go back to the My New Favorite Futbolista feed right now to hear previous episodes, and make sure to subscribe to get future episodes automatically downloaded to your device.
This episode of My New Favorite Futbolista was produced by NBC Universal Local. Megan Klingenberg and I, Eric Alvarez, were your hosts. Darnay Tripp was our guest correspondent. Jeremy Berg wrote and edited this episode. Jeremy Berg served as executive producer. Fernando Hurtado and Seth Rubenroy were the supervising producers. Aaron Pinnell and Rosangela Payan were the motion graphics designers. Miguel Estrada, Brad Fossler, James Jeffrey, Michael Katowski, Erica Messick, Sanjesh Singh, Whitney Irish, Chelsea Turner, Amy Burns, Allison Stubb, Nate Fall, Matt Campbell, Mike Brown, Francesca Gian, and Brandon Galvan were the production crew. Stephen Dawson was the operations manager. Ray Rodriguez, Miguel Estrada, Rafael Vireya, and Fernando Hurtado provided translations.